Fire.com.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Left, right, or someplace in between. Don't care what your stripes are. Even if you're confused, just as long as you have an opinion, you want to throw in your two cents, I'm actually going to give you the digits right at the top. Sort of a talk show no-no, because you have to throw out all the topics you're talking about. I say hooey to that because most of us can't remember the numbers. So let's give you a fighting chance. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Pretty easy to remember, actually. But if you can't remember it, just scrawl it down on the back of your hand or on a slip of paper somewhere if you're hauling down the highway. Actually, now's a good time of night to do that because it's probably not as crowded. In a few hours, the roads will be jammed with cars as it'll be rush hour. It's rush hour now when it comes to the Tea Party because the so-called Tea Party is having to defend itself against a lot of different assaults. But here's the thing. There's no true what you would call leader of the Tea Party. It's just a movement. And the movement is loosely of people who are discontent with what's happening in the country. I think that's a fair definition, particularly when it comes to taxation. Well, Colin Powell was on one of the Sunday shows. I like to call it the swirl because if you flip all over the place, whether it's Fox or ABC or NBC or CBS or wherever, you'll see some political element of the day and questions being asked of whatever the big headlines were during the week. And a lot of it has been centering around the Tea Party, and of course, because there were some big primary wins, particularly Delaware seems to stick out the most with Christine O'Donnell, who's 41, who's single, who's, you know, made a splash over beating Mike Castle, who had a lot of political cachet with the Republican Party and the people of Delaware, having been a two-term governor and a long-time congressman. Along comes O'Donnell. Now she has a shot at Joe Biden's Senate seat. And when you run and when you're different, you're definitely going to have a lot of poison darts thrown at you. So how tough is O'Donnell to weather it? One of the things that Powell talked about was how can you be for this country and be anti-immigration? It doesn't make any sense. And that's just a little bit out of touch. And here it is in his own words, a little snippet of what he said.
You can't be anti-immigration, for example, because immigrants are fueling this country. Without immigrants, America would be like Europe or Japan with an aging population and no young people coming in to take care of it.
I don't know. That's interesting. I had a conversation with somebody today about the immigration problem. And, of course, there's a difference between, we know this, and many of us make this distinction. Yes, people who get in line, people who desperately want to be here, go to a citizen swearing in, and you have no blood in your body if you don't feel a little bit of emotion watching the people and how you can tell excited and almost relieved they are to become a citizen of the United States. That's different than what we're seeing and being overrun with all over the country now, because it's not just necessarily the border states. And then when states like California are flailing and can't get it together, they've got no money to speak of because there's IOUs all over the place and they're having to furlough people and figuring out, gee, let's legalize marijuana only because we really need the revenue. So if we just tax it, who cares? Let's do it. We're drowning. We've got to do something. What do we do? Well, part of California's problem is the illegal immigration problem. And you know what? We go back to the heart of the question. What Powell said right there, I take a little bit of issue with. Do you really think if, and this isn't going to happen anyway, but if we didn't have any illegal immigration, maybe just a little bit, but hardly anybody here, do you think that this country would be like Japan. You'd have an aging population, nobody young to work, and nobody would do all what he's really referring to as grunt work, to being in fields or being in manufacturing in some of the meatpacking plants. And I say we don't know, because if you were being paid a fair wage, that was part of the deal, because businesses were basically given the free rein, even though there's supposed to be big crackdowns on people who hire illegal immigrants, because there have been so many year after year, decades of people hiring cheap labor under the wire, so to speak. Well, that's part of the problem. So how do we know? My contention is if you never had that in the first place and you paid a working, livable wage, that Americans would do those jobs versus I have no job, my unemployment's run out, and I can't find a job because I'm not being hired because I cost too much. Like in the construction business, where a lot of guys have been aced out of construction jobs because, frankly, it's easier to go down to the corner and get a truckload of illegal people to come, guys, to jump in the truck and go and work on some crews because it's work for them and it's a cheaper rate. And voila, problem solved. But it's not solved for the people who would do that work gladly but can't get that work because it's cheaper to do it the other way. So that's what I would say about that. And yes, this is something that's has to be addressed in this country, and we can't dance around it anymore. Something has to be done. The time for talk is way over, folks. Way, way, way over. Let's go to Ann in Missouri. Hello, Ann.
Morning. Good morning. It's been a long time.
I know. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I can't complain too much. The Tea Party. You're right.
Yeah.
It is. It has to do with the taxes, and that's the whole thing it was started on was against raising taxes, and that's basically the rest of it. But that's what that's about.
That's absolutely. It's the frustration over what's happening with taxes, that you cannot afford to be taxed one more time. One more $1,000 or 1% or whatever it equals out to, absolutely. Because between property tax, between Uncle Sam wanting every penny that he can get, it's too much. You are killing the middle class.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing I was calling for tonight was telling you that my kid is on the last leg of preparation going to Iraq,
mm-hmm.
back to Kuwait and Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He's left for Indiana yesterday, and he will be, within the next month, he will be leaving there and heading to Kuwait.
Wow, what's his name, Ann?
Kenneth Michael.
Kenneth, all right, a big booyah shout out to Kenneth. Thank you so much for serving this country. You got a proud mother. Hang through, everybody. A lot to get to here on America Tonight.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Probably the rest of you, too, feel the same way. You know what? It's the whole taxation thing. It's one thing to pay your fair share, but it's another thing to get gouged. And the concern, I think, is it's like with these Bush tax cuts that's being discussed, what Congress should do. And I think what they should do to help the economy, I think you got to do a freeze. Even if you do just a one-year freeze, something. But you've got income tax rates that are going to go up December 31st. And now it's a debate as to what's happening next. So I think you freeze everything. I think the smart thing to do is just freeze everything. Because if you extend the tax cuts for all income levels and you do nothing else, if you just do that, then I think what you could do is spur on more of that confidence of, okay, we're going to give you this break and we're going to emphasize, because, you know, that's the deal. If we give you something, then we're going to remind you constantly that we gave you this, and let's see if this spurs businesses to make some good choices in helping people. Because it's not just the individuals. The focus keeps coming up about the individuals, but that will hit the corporations too, especially the small businesses, because it's really all lumped into one when you're talking about some of the small businesses anyway. And if you endorse the plan to extend the tax cuts only for the lower and middle income taxpayers, but it goes up in the top two brackets, that means people making more than $200,000 a year or couples earning more than $250,000, the increase in taxes they say, economists say, would raise $700 billion over the next 2 years. But then you could look at the size of the U.S. budget deficit, and the government can't afford to really extend anyone's tax break, if you think of it that way, because that's not enough. It would go up. It would have to go up across the board. And I think the recovery is way too fragile to allow taxes to go up for the 97% of taxpayers not in the top brackets. And that's what would happen. I think ultimately the drag would be too much, and everybody would be slammed into it. Forget the whole top earners thing. It would eventually slam into everybody else. And I think if you're going to do it, just freeze it. Freeze it for a year, freeze it for 2 years. I don't see how this is going to work. And instead, you're going to hit small businesses, and it's probably going to put a massive clamp on hiring. So then the middle class is affected, because it does roll all into one. I go to some of these entrepreneur breakfasts, not for nothing, to see what's going on out there, because small businesses is what's fueling America. It's the whole capitalist thing. And the small business owners are saying that. It's not just rhetoric. They're saying that it's killing them. It's going to kill them, and they're not going to hire. And, in fact, they may cut back or have people swing into one or two more duties. All right, we do a different turn here and move away from taxation and the Tea Party and all of that to something that was so tragic that happened in San Bruno, California. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you don't know the story, it was like 2 weeks ago, and there was a gas line explosion that looked like a bomb went off in San Bruno, California, which the people that live there have a view of the San Francisco Bay. Basically, it's the San Francisco Bay area. And it turns out that the power company knew that they had really crappy lines. They were earmarked as one of the worst places in California for the lines, so that, you know, they needed to be replaced. And they even got $5 million to do that. And they had the work. They talked about doing the work in 2009, didn't get done, asked for another $5 million, said they were going to do it in 2013. And so because of the waiting game and the shuffling, lo and behold, the neighborhood explodes. Four people are killed. Other people are injured. It looks like a war zone. I can't believe that more people didn't lose their lives, but enough were injured severely in that. It's just a terrible situation. So the people that live in San Bruno, that didn't have their house go up in flames or lose everything or get injured in some way, I think are counting their blessings. One of them was this woman, Margaret Sullivan. Listen to how she put it.
I consider myself very lucky to be alive, and the house is up.
Yeah, the house is up, but unfortunately, the neighbors to the right and to the left is just a complete burnout. The houses are torn to the ground. And if nothing else, once again, this is a red flag to everybody else, to all of us living in Missouri, Illinois, Minnesota, California, Texas, Connecticut, Vermont, pick a place, any place. And we don't know what's underneath our neighborhood. I have no idea what kind of pipes are underneath. I have no idea what the lines are like. And there are faulty lines. They're older. They're corroded. All that sort of thing that happens. But how dangerous is it? Danger lurking right beneath our homes. And maybe this is, if anything, this helps the fates and fortunes of others, but too bad for the people in San Bruno, because money does not replace human lives. Speaking of human lives, boy, there's some mothers that are frantic because they have two sons that are stuck in Iran. When the female hiker was released, Sarah Schward, but not the other two guys that were with her, it was good in one sense because she was having some health issues. And, yeah, it was $500,000 for the bail, but she got out of the country. She talks about, hey, we're not spies, we're none of this. We were just hiking in a beautiful area, and it's just a misunderstanding. It wasn't clearly marked. But the two that are left behind, I have a really bad feeling about it, that they're going to have a tough time finding their way back to U.S. soil. Here are some of the thoughts of the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
Great relief. I was so pleased that this young woman was able to come home. I want the other two young Americans, Josh and Shane, to come home as well. I just can't even imagine how painful the experience that they themselves have had inside prison, but then, of course, the pain that their families feel.
It's supposed to be one of the worst prisons, too, in the world. But, you know, we keep coming back to the same thing. What are they thinking? It just shows you that not thinking. Why are you thinking it's okay to do that? I guess, you know, you're there in Iraq and you figure, well, this is a beautiful tourist area. So, hey, it'll be okay if we go out there. You know, it's like that Proof of Life movie. Did you ever see that Proof of Life movie? Yeah, I know it's Hollywood exaggerating and blowing things up. But now it's really true. And if you're an American and you're in certain areas and you're not in uniform, you're not part of a crew, you're not in the green zone, you're not part of a diplomatic entourage where you have guards and people with you, you're going to stick out. And so they stuck out. It was probably very easy for the Iranians to grab those three. And especially if they were really right there on the so-called border. How easy is that? Like taking candy from a baby. And that's exactly what happened, because now the two boys are pawns in, I think, an Ahmadinejad scheme. And it's not going to work, because there's no way the U.S. will back down sanctions or what's happening with the U.N. and nuclear enrichment. And is it really being used for weapons or is it being used for power? Forget about it. There's no deal that's going to be made here. No deal. And it means that those two could spend, who knows, the rest of their life in prison or something worse. It is good that the girl was released, but I think that it's going to be tough to get any other movement from Ahmadinejad unless something is given to him, and there's no dealings that this government will make with Ahmadinejad whatsoever. There are no diplomatic relations, so they're not going to do that. It's only a question of whether or not the two get lucky, and somehow the government decides it's not worth it anymore, and they give them bail, and then they're out of there too. But I think they'll be hard-pressed to do that. Send me your thoughts about that or some of the other stuff that we're jawing about here on America Tonight at AmericaTonight.net. Have a great story to talk about next. Wait till you hear this story. Very compelling. Of a guy who has pancreatic cancer, and he's making his way on a journey to raise awareness for his particular kind of cancer that's a real killer, but misleading. Some of the statistics aren't always gloomy. Stay with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Yes, yes,
yes. Buy the case or buy the pallet. Sapaco SurePak MREs are the most well-balanced, great-tasting meals ready to eat available at MyersCustomSupply.com. Sapaco SurePak MREs are great for any situation. Come with or without flameless ration heaters, are easy to transport, and easy to store with a 3 to 5 year shelf life. And you can buy just a case or an entire pallet. Either way, Sapaco SurePak MREs are ready to eat hot or cold. Experience superior customer service from the number one Sapaco supplier that's been been in business since 1997. When you order your SEPACO SurePak MREs from MyersCustomSupply.com, get fast free shipping and 5% off your total order by using promo code GCN5 at checkout. Call 1-800-451-6105 or visit MyersCustomSupply.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R-S CustomSupply.com or call 800-451-6105. For the lowest prices on the internet, visit MyersCustomSupply.com.
Are you fed up with government of, by, and for the banksters and gangsters? Are you ready for a patriotic newspaper that pulls no punches, that tells it the way it is about the forces that have taken over and are destroying the United States from within? The Nationalist Times has been informing and educating Americans every month since 1985. The Nationalist Times features outstanding writers and columnists who promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning cultural Marxist Party line. If you believe it's far past time to get America back on track, you need to be reading America's best political publication. Find out why the Nationalist Times has many thousands of loyal readers. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times for the special introductory rate of just $29 for 1 year. Subscribe today by sending $29 to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's $29 for 1 year to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145.
Never clean or maintain your old-fashioned gutters again. Now there's Rain Handler. How'd you like to never have to climb a shaky ladder to dig out leaves from your gutters ever again? You need Rain Handler, the patented modern gutter that eliminates gutter cleaning forever. Rain Handler converts the runoff from your roof to gentle raindrops and spreads them away from your home, eliminating ground erosion. Rain Handler is made of self-cleaning aluminum louvers that allow leaves and debris to blow away. And Rain Handler cannot cause ice dams. Each Rain Handler section is guaranteed against winter damage and comes with a 25-year warranty and a full 1-year money-back satisfaction guarantee. Go to GetRainHandler.com to see this amazing system in action or call 800-942-3004. All radio listeners receive a 10% discount at GetRainHandler.com. That's GetRainHandler.com. Call 800-942-3004 or visit GetRainHandler.com today.
Of good things about our next guest. First of all, he's in Alaska, and somehow we've connected. It's almost a miracle, because you know how the cell coverage can be just a little bit spotty. You know, when you see those TV commercials and they show you where all the dead zones are, basically, you know, where you can't get that cell coverage. He may be in one of those spots, but we got really lucky. He's doing that thing called the Road to a Cure. And I think it's just a brilliant, brilliant idea, especially for a guy who is an avid motorcyclist. So Chris Calaprice has taken this on when he found out that he had pancreatic cancer. And, you know, he took all the positive emotion, I'm putting words in his mouth, that he could, and his passion to go on the road and do it big, get the word out, do what he could to be out there on this grueling tour to draw attention to pancreatic cancer and the huge need for more research in this area. I've talked about this before, and I just mentioned it when we first jumped on America Tonight, the fact that I knew someone that he was fighting it as much as he could, and in the end, sadly, he lost his battle with pancreatic cancer. And he worked for a network, and he was a big, lovable guy, and lots of people were just horrified when he just couldn't make that last push at the end, and we saw what happened with Patrick Swayze. But Chris is getting it done to get the word out there on Road to a Cure. Chris, thanks for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Kate, thanks for having me.
All right, first let's wind the clock back. I mentioned this before you came on when we first went on the air, that you're a former Army Ranger, and here you are, you have this passion. I mean, you're like a manly man, I'm assuming, because you have this passion for motorcycles and zest for life. Well, the diagnosis, you're a young guy. The diagnosis when you got pancreatic cancer, what was that like for you? That had to be an out-of-body experience.
Well, I guess I was very fortunate in how that delivered. That was delivered. I was 36, and unfortunately for my wife, the doctor told my wife and my mother before, while I was still unconscious, and they were given the choice whether to tell, you know, whether to tell me or how the doctors told me, and they chose my wife and mother chose to tell me. So it was it's always easier to hear something like that coming from those you love. Really, the first thought I had on it was, okay, what do we do about this? I had done a little bit of research. I knew how grim it was. But, you know, with statistics, you never know where you sit in that bell graph. You're somewhere on that chart, and you could be the 5% or the 1%. So, you know, the first question is, let's just get down to it and figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah. And then what was it that made you decide to do this tour? What was that final kick that you said, okay, I'm going to do this?
Well, really the impetus for doing this came to a large degree from Jennifer. She had been an event coordinator in the past, and we had put on an event thanks to a number of friends, a friend who owned a motorcycle dealership. And we'd raised some money, and we'd done some spokesperson work, and we learned about the funding, and that as the number four killer, it was getting less than 2% of our federal research funds. So we really decided that something had to be done more in changing the face of the way we see pancreatic cancer. So, you know, we hear about it in terms of mortality and the rest, but what we don't hear are the stories of hope. And one of the things that we've been able to do is give hope as we've gone along. I've met 20-year survivors, 40-year survivors, even when I was first diagnosed, a 3-year survivor. And these are people that have given me hope as I've gone along. And it's something that we share with each other as survivors. So as soon as you're diagnosed, we consider you to be a survivor. And we knew that that was a potent thing. And too often we hear pancreatic cancer, everyone dies from it. And we wanted to change that to pancreatic cancer. Something needs to be done about it.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. So you start the tour, and now how far have you gone in the tour? How much of the tour have you completed? How many miles?
We're just under 30,000 miles right now.
30,000 miles.
That's in the seat of a motorcycle. So when you consider what it takes to ride a motorcycle, it's far more. The average motorcycle, when you consider all the bikes that aren't ridden and all the rest of it, the DOT statistic is something like 1,900 miles a year. So many people aren't able to ride in the winter. We're fortunate enough to this year have been able to kind of pick where we were going to be when on the season. So it's a pretty large number of, in fact, it's a huge number of miles even for a healthy person to ride in a season. And we decided that we would do that 1 mile for each person diagnosed. So that's 42,500 miles that we're riding.
Wow. Congratulations on getting to that 30,000. You're getting near the finish line. That's terrific. How do you feel physically? How do you feel mentally? Do you feel kind of spent? Like you said, you're on a motorcycle.
You know, some days more than others. Today I'm doing really well. We're in a Walmart parking lot. And in Fairbanks, Alaska, and we just pulled in and decided we were going to spend a day getting some sleep and getting rested up for the 2,000-mile leg back down the west axis of the Inland Passage. So it's back to dodging caribou, bison and porcupines for us for a while.
I love that. What's the reaction been with the people that you've met along the way? What kind of, obviously you feel like you're getting support because you've mentioned that, but how else would you describe it?
You know, it's met with a mix of people not understanding what the magnitude of what we're doing is, and with those who absolutely understand the need and just, you know, welcome you and help you with anything they can, whether it's helping you get your laundry done or giving you the last $20 for fuel. It's all funded on private donations and, you know, and people's help along the way. And we've had just amazing support as we've gone along. And it's the rare people who just don't get it. When you spend a few minutes talking to them about what that means, you know, what it means to do chemotherapy on the road and crawl into the saddle, whether it's 100 degrees or 25 degrees outside, and do what you have to do, that it changes their mind pretty quick. And when we start speaking about the statistics, and that changes their minds. When you start speaking about how it changes people's lives and gives them this sense that, you know, if you made it 7 years, there's a chance I can. And
yeah,
when you're given a diagnosis like this, all too often the doctors diagnose it as, you have pancreatic cancer, we'll keep you comfortable, and there's really nothing we can do. And the big message is, seek a center of excellence. Find the very best care. That's the one thing you can do that can extend your life. I know people that, in fact, I know a gentleman with my oncologist who's 8 years with inoperable pancreatic cancer that spread to his liver, and he's still alive and still taking his kids to ball games.
Boy, that's great to hear that. You mentioned the chemo on the road. How did you get your doctor to fly out and administer that chemo? How often do you see him? Like 8 weeks or something, isn't it?
I have chemo every 8 weeks. He doesn't fly out for every chemo, but he does fly out for some. In fact, I believe he'll be joining us in Seattle here as soon as we get back to the lower 48 for my next treatment. And it's really hasn't been hard to get him to engage. Where he's not coming out, he's engaging with oncologists at cancer centers, and really it's a chance for him to talk to other oncologists about his approach, which is pretty radical and pretty severe. It's a four-drug cocktail, but does have good results. He has some of the best results out there, so it's a chance to get that out there beyond just in the scientific journals, but in a real case scenario where, you know, when I walk in the door, I do look healthy. I do look strong. I have, you know, a pretty good general health level for somebody who's been doing chemotherapy for 6.5 years, and it really opens some eyes.
Yeah, boy, 6.5 years, that's great. I mean, that's like you said, the statistics, the statistics aren't accurate. There's two different sides of the statistics, and as you mentioned, Chris, get the best care possible, the best place that you can possibly go to. How can other people get involved that are hearing your story?
You know, the best way to get involved is go to ROAD, R-O-A-D, the number 2, acure.org, and click donate. You know, the one thing that that we need most to be able to keep spreading this message is obviously is funding. It's all privately funded, and it is an awareness campaign. And we're out here videotaping, and we have a producer documentarian with us who's shooting the whole thing in high-definition video. We're interviewing the best researchers and oncologists. There's advice on our website from some of them. And as we are able to move down the road, we'll be able to produce a documentary that really shows the state of this disease and shows how we can really make a change in this disease. So that's our overall goal and approach, that through awareness we'll be able to raise the funds to find early detection, which is key, and treatment options, which we have none of.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Hey, good luck to you the rest of the way. And, Chris, we wanted to tell you, you are definitely our daily salute on America Tonight. There's great applause for you in the studio audience in Minneapolis. Thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Well, thank you so much, and hello to the Twin Cities.
There you go. All right. Road to a Cure. Check it out, everybody. What a great guy. And I love the fact that he's, it's like he said, it's about that awareness factor. It's about the need for more research. We know this with all the kinds of cancers that come up. Stay with us on the flip side, Odds and Ends.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Odds and ends. We don't know what the end will be to this story. And it has to do with some hikers who didn't, they say they didn't realize where they were, that they had gone into Iranian territory when they were in Iraq. And the American woman who was held for 13 months, Sarah Schwartz, was released on $500,000 bail. She's accused of spying along with her now fiancé and his friend. But she's saying that they never spy, they didn't do any crimes. It's just a huge, crazy misunderstanding. So she decided to talk about it. And she said she feels only one-third free because her fiancé, Shane Bauer, and their friend, Josh Fatal, are still in a notorious prison. This prison is supposed to be terrible. Even the prison is what it's called. And, you know, the 32-year-old saying, look, we weren't doing anything. I mean, we were simply, truly hiking. And this has nothing to do with spying. It has nothing to do with anything untoward the people of Iran. And the unfortunate part for this Berkeley student or graduate and her two to other cohorts is that they were picked up when they crossed from Iraq into Iran. And they said, listen, we were only hiking there because it's a very popular tourist area. It's near a waterfall in the Kurdistan region. And we had no idea there was a border nearby. We had no idea that there was anything different about where we were because there wasn't a border marking. There was nothing that distinguished it. So we don't deserve to be in prison. We committed no crimes. We're not spies. We didn't harm anyone in the Iranian government or the people. And this is just a huge misunderstanding. Well, the reason that she was really released is because she's had some health problems. And I think that partially led to the determination that, okay, maybe we should release her. They take the bail. They take the bail money. She's released after 410 days in custody. And I'm sure she was beyond thrilled to be back in home territory, but missing the two others and how crazy that situation became for them. But it's like you have to think, you're in Iraq. You know the situation there. I get it that it wasn't clearly marked, and I think they're completely victims. But when you think of what's going on in the Middle East, it's just not a place I would put myself. How about the rest of you? Unless I were embedded and there was a reason I was doing that and I was with the troops. But I don't think I would take that risk whatsoever. In fact, I don't want to even say the word think. I know damn well I wouldn't take that risk. But they weren't doing anything. They weren't doing anything. It's obvious they have no information. But what this now becomes is their chips in the big game. And their chips in the big game of Ahmadinejad, who is the worst of the bunch when it comes to a list of evil idiots. He makes the top of the list. So would there be a possibility that he's broaching a trade for, I don't know, the whole nuclear problem? I would think maybe the last two would be part of trying to make a deal, but there's no deals to be had. And that's the scary part. What's going to happen to these two guys, Shane and Josh? Are they going to be imprisoned forever and ever? Because Iran can do that. It doesn't matter how much the American government tries to plead and please humanitarian and Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State talks, or whoever talks, it comes down to really Ahmadinejad. And he has a massive chip on his shoulder about nukes and about the nuclear bomb. Of course, denying and saying that it's only about nuclear power. But that chip is so large, I cannot imagine. I hope I'm dead wrong. But I cannot imagine that these two other guys are going to get released anytime soon. I don't see it. Unless there was some kind of brokerage for a deal. I mean, why couldn't they go jogging or hiking someplace else? I mean, I know we have to get beyond that, but I don't know that they're going to get so lucky. This was one deal I don't think will be repeated. I don't think the two other guys are going to get out of there unless there's some kind of trade, unless there's something that they can give back, and they're not going to do that. Why would they do that? They're not going to negotiate. It's not going to happen. So the big question mark when I say odds and ends, I don't know what the end's going to be, but I have a feeling it's not going to be a good end. All right, how about this on Hurricane Igor? The end of this one we don't know either. The hurricane so far slammed Bermuda with incredible winds, waves that were horrific, massive amounts of rain, you know, the typical thing, the trees falling, the power lines down, all that sort of stuff. And then the core of the hurricane with winds about 75 miles an hour and passing over a place west of Bermuda, which is pretty popular for the tourists and the wealthy people. And it's about 600 miles east of the East Coast. So there's uprooted trees, that flying, icky debris, the frightening feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when you see that, your cars getting slammed, the flooding in the streets, all of that could be hitting the East Coast. It's just another one of those questions of keeping an eye on where it's going. It's kind of headed in a path to the east, but, you know, that can dissipate or turn. In Bermuda, it was terrible. They, you know, it was Sunday, so churches were deserted. Shops and restaurants were boarded up. The people had bought up whatever was left in Bermuda for batteries and food and fuel. Of course they did. And they had to close the airport because who's going to get in and out of there? You can't fly. It was kind of like a ghost town, I guess. And they warned the people, though, to prepare for a hurricane. And they've seen this before. There was one that hit in the early 2000, like 2002, 2003, Hurricane Fabian, if you remember it, killed a few people, a handful of people, but millions of dollars of damage. It's surprising more people weren't actually killed in that one. So what happens is it gets through the week, the East Coast, you're going to see large sea swells. So that's probably what's going to happen, and probably rainfall too. It might be a lot of rain. The good news is Hurricane Carl, remember that one, in Mexico over the weekend, totally dissipates over the mountains of south central Mexico. Unfortunately, still killing some in its wake, at least eight people dead. But the oil operations, no damage. They were expecting there might be damage because a lot of barrels come out of that area. Mexico, in fact, produces about two-thirds of 2.55 million barrels a day of crude. So that could have just slammed that shut, but that didn't happen. However, it did certainly affect the people there. So there's a couple of crazy odds and ends where we're not sure what the end's going to be yet. It's another one of those wait-and-see deals. And with Iran, I say flip a coin. It'd be a miracle if those two get out. I hope they do, because it's ridiculous, but it's a perfect scenario with the hikers for them to be in that situation where Ahmadinejad can kind of dangle them. And, oh, by the way, heading into the weekend, President Obama named a Harvard law professor who has fought passionately against the banks and the big boys to set up a new office to protect consumers from risky financial practices. You might know her name. We've talked about her before on the show. I think she can kind of cut across political ideology because she doesn't really cowtail to either, I'll call it either side. Her name's Elizabeth Warren, and she now is not a czar, but she's the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau chief, basically. This could be a good thing, because I think she'll bet, if it's not good and there's too much politics where this office is concerned and people start to pull her strings, I think she'll bail out. So she may actually help some of the situations out there where people get trapped and they have no clue what they're signing away when they sign different documents. Have any thoughts? Send them to me at AmericaTonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.